All right, we are preparing now for this Lord's Supper on this Sunday before the national holiday of Thanksgiving. So let's stop and pray together. Father, you have given to us your Spirit and told us through the ancient prophets that it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit that your work is accomplished. Told us through your Son that the flesh doesn't profit anything. It's only the Spirit who can give life. So we come to you today looking for heart work and knowing that only you by your Spirit can work in our hearts. But you do that through this means, the Word of Christ, and through this method, people proclaiming the Word of Christ. So as we try to use your means and your method, we then depend on your Spirit to work in our hearts this morning. So we ask for that because it's for our good and it is what will honor you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I will certainly agree with anyone who says that Christians shouldn't need national holidays to help us to give thanks, because we should be people of thanksgiving all the time. However, I can use every encouragement and reminder I can get to be thankful, because thankfulness is a spiritual discipline that I am not very good at all. Now, let me nuance that for you a little bit to get to what I want us to talk about this morning. I don't mean that I spend my days worrying or complaining. I certainly have my spiritual issues, but I do not think that worrying and complaining are two of the ones I struggle with the most. At least I hope my wife and family would say that's not the case. I tend to be a very forward-looking person. If I use the metaphor of water under the bridge, if you're familiar with that idea, Californians don't know much about water under bridges, I realize. Anyways, I could say that yesterday is water under the bridge. It's past now, and on we go. Focus on faithfulness today and what's coming tomorrow. That tends to be my outlook on life in general. It maybe connects with my spiritual gift of a bad memory. And the problem with that is that yesterday's water under the bridge is water that came through the floodgates of God's mercy. And it calls for my heart to respond with thanks. As Americans, we are proud of our Bill of Rights. And with things like guns today, there is a portion of the population eager to talk about the right to do something like keep and bear arms. I wish sometimes we would use that word a little bit more for God. What does God have the right to? What if you wrote a Bill of Rights for God? One of the things that God has the right to is our thanks. In other words, we say something like, God is worthy of our thanks, and that's good. But it helps me to actually change that to a little bit stronger word, maybe. God has the right to our thanks. What does that mean? What's the opposite of right? Wrong. Okay? Okay, I'm playing with words a little bit. But if God has the right to our thanks, it would be wrong to deprive God of the thanks that he deserves, right? Okay, so is Pastor Tim unthankful? This is a tricky question. Because on one hand, I would say, I don't think so. Though maybe I'm more unthankful than I realize. Ingratitude is a characteristic of our fleshly hearts, so maybe I am unthankful. But here's my point. Suppose I actually am thankful, but what is thankfulness if not expressed to the one who has the right to it? Or say it like this. There's a difference between feeling thanks and giving thanks. I don't find any reference in the Bible to feeling thanks, though we all experience that. There are 57 references to giving thanks. Thanks as something that you give. And what's our holiday? Thanks feeling. Right? The holiday, the word give is right there. Thanks giving. So would you turn with me to Luke chapter 17, please? Luke 17. And we'll read verses 11 through 18. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Verse 14 now. When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." All right, there are several interesting things in that passage, including the statement at the end about his faith making him well and the fact that it was a Samaritan who was the one who returned. Jesus highlights that. And the fact that apparently these men had to leave to begin going to show themselves to the priest before they were healed. So lots of intriguing things there. But I just want to generally observe that of the 10 who were healed, only one returned to give thanks. Now, here's the question. When those other 9 went home to their families and gathered around the table at Thanksgiving and carved up their Middle Eastern turkey and talked about the pilgrims, did any of them say, "I am so thankful I don't have leprosy anymore"? Do you think any of them said that? Okay, I know they didn't have Thanksgiving, but did any of them say, "I'm so thankful I don't have leprosy anymore"? Surely. Surely. Did they go home and any of their family members give them a big hug and they cried together and rejoiced together because they didn't have leprosy anymore? So did thanks feeling happen for the other 9? Certainly. So 10 who experienced thanks feeling and 1 who carried out thanksgiving. Feeling thanks might be something that sometimes somewhat naturally happens. Not all the time, of course, and we can get in a place where we feel fear and complaining and lots of things instead. But feeling thanks can just happen sometimes. Giving thanks very rarely just happens. Giving thanks is a spiritual discipline. That's the point of all that I'm saying here. Giving thanks is an intentional act of worship, a spiritual discipline. Spiritual disciplines are those things that usually require thought, preparation, intentionality, and routine. Most of you probably have some plan and routine for reading the Bible and praying each day because you recognize that if you don't plan for it and schedule it and create a routine, it's probably not going to happen. So giving thanks needs to be a spiritual discipline like this. If we aren't intentional about it, it will happen too seldom. It's interesting that when we look into the Old Testament law, we find that they had something called a thanksgiving sacrifice. Isn't that a little intriguing? A thanksgiving sacrifice. That means they literally gave thanks. You see what I'm saying there? They brought an animal and some loaves of bread that go with it, as described in Leviticus chapter 7. That's where this is. They brought an animal and they literally gave thanks in the form of this sacrifice to God. They presented this to the Lord at the tabernacle. And so this intrigues me for a couple of reasons. First of all, it shows that thanksgiving was clearly more than just a feeling, but it was a giving. It was this action of giving. Just like the leper in Luke 17 who came back to Jesus. But then the other thing that intrigues me is that Leviticus 7 says that the thanksgiving offering, it uses the phrase, you may offer to the Lord. So it was not a required sacrifice. So who did it? Who brought a sacrifice of thanksgiving and gave it to the Lord? Only the people who were intentional about it. Only the people who planned on it, thought about it, said this is important, figured out which animal they were going to bring, went to all the work of getting the animal, getting him all the way to the tabernacle, presenting it to the priest. It was a lot of work. You didn't just happen to offer a thanksgiving sacrifice in Old Testament Israel. So that emphasizes again that giving, feeling thanks might sometimes happen naturally. Giving thanks is a spiritual discipline. It's something we intentionally put into action. So go with me now to Psalm 50. I know we didn't turn to that, but again, that was Leviticus chapter 7 that describes that thanksgiving sacrifice. Now Psalm 50, and beginning in verse 8. So this is, you know, very roughly 1,000 years later, and we read, God says this, verse 8, not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. In other words, they were offering lots of burnt offerings all the time at the tabernacle. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and all its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? As if I'm hungry and I need you to bring me all this? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Now look at verse 23. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. To one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. So do you see the shift there? From Leviticus 7 and a thanksgiving sacrifice to Psalm 50 and God saying, you know, I've got enough animals. I own all of them. What I want is for you to bring thanksgiving as your sacrifice. So by the way, now you've got context for he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. What's the point if he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? It's that what we should offer to God is thanksgiving as our sacrifice. So Hosea 14:3 says, take words with you and return to the Lord. You familiar with that passage? Say to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. Hebrews 13:15 says, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge or give thanks to his name. So we shift from Leviticus 7 and a gift of thanksgiving, which, by the way, we could still do, right? There's a reason why we take our mercy fund offering around Thanksgiving time. because giving is an act of thanks to the Lord for what He's given us. But the first sacrifice of thanksgiving comes not from our hands, but from our lips. As we intentionally offer to God words of thanksgiving. So not just feelings of thanksgiving, but the action of offering to God words of thanksgiving as a spiritual discipline, as a regular routine, not just an annual pastime while we wait to stuff ourselves. So here's what I did this week. I challenged myself to come up with a list of categories that I could incorporate into my prayer routine, my prayer list, we'll say, for now, that would prompt thanksgiving. Because part of the problem is we have a hard time seeing and even remembering, right? So I tried to think for myself of what are some categories I could build into my prayer list that could help prompt thanksgiving. And I will share my list with you, but my list is just mine. I'm curious what categories you think of. What could you write on your prayer list or however you do it to give some structure to your praying? What could you write that would remind you of a category of things you could give thanks for? Let me just collect some ideas from you. What are categories of things for which we can be thankful? Okay, so who God is, right? God's character. God's provision. His grace. Right? So these are parts of God's character toward us, right? His love toward us. Good. Okay, His promises. Okay, things in our circumstances that show God's hand. Okay, His past faithfulness. Right. Present and future faithfulness also, right? Okay, people. People He's put in our lives. His word. Jesus. Okay. All the things in the world that He placed us in for our hearts to enjoy and love. Kindness. Yeah. Okay, let me just share my list of ideas with you. Those are good ideas. So I ended up with 9. One was the blessings God has brought through people in my life. So like Jonathan mentioned, the people God brings and the blessing that God brings through people, people who care for me, people who help me, people who make a difference in my life, blessings God has brought through people. Secondly, prayers God has answered to help me always be watching for that. Thirdly, spiritual growth in others. I often, because I'm a pastor, get to have glimpses into things that are happening in people's lives, and I should thank God for those things. So, spiritual growth in others. Fourthly, strength God has given. I know there are lots of other subcategories related to that, but I think that just simply endurance is so foundationally from God that to be continually thanking Him that we're still spiritually kicking today is important. So strength God has given, spiritual growth from the Spirit. And I've got two things that are similar here. Spiritual growth. So I'm talking about thanking God for indications of my own spiritual growth. And then related to that, another thing on my list is spiritual vitality I've experienced. We should thank God when we experience conviction. Thank God when we experience joy. Like you come into a worship service here and God takes truth and really works it in your heart. Part of what we should come out of that saying is, Lord, thank you for that. That was like spiritual life I experience there. You know what it's like to just be glad you're alive spiritually? Because God is doing things where you're experiencing spiritual vitality, or you read your Bible and you're like, whoa, I never saw that in that verse before. That is spiritual vitality, right? So I'm putting those two things. One, the category of spiritual growth, like steps I can see God producing in my life. But then just the experience of spiritual vitality, to thank Him for that. There is then I have daily bread that God has provided. That's my circumstantial category, like Crystalyn mentioned. Then there are the spiritual blessings I possess in Christ. That's all of God's character, all of God's kindness, all of the blessings of salvation, all those things fit in that category. And then my last category is trials. If God is so insistent on our giving thanks to Him in everything, which I realize is not the same thing as giving thanks for everything, yet I think I want to be asking myself, which of the trials in my life should I actually be thanking God for because He's using them and I need them? And it would be very important for me to thank Him for them. You know, you can thank God for something while praying for it to end, and you're not contradicting yourself. That's big biblical thinking about God. That's my list, and I'm just giving that to you as ideas. My point is that those things I just gave to you are actually written down for me now. And I'm not going to look at all of them every day when I pray, but I'm going to look at one of them each day when I pray and try to give thanks to God for that area, and the next day, the next one. So I just rotate through those 9 things, and I want to encourage all of you to consider something along those lines. If you don't have a system for thanksgiving built into your spiritual disciplines, this would be a great week to take some time to work on that. Burn some mental calories Thanksgiving morning, and you'll feel better about eating later. And then as we come to the Lord's Supper now, remember that the Lord's Supper is a spiritual discipline. It is built into our schedule as a regular reminder, as something intentional. And one of its several purposes is to give us a clear opportunity to express our gratitude to God for the death of Jesus. So don't underestimate the value of coming to the Lord's Supper. And as we take those elements out there, if you, from your own heart, say genuinely to the Lord, thank you, that is not something to be minimized. That is offering to God the sacrifice of thanks, giving to Him the sacrifice of thanks. That is His rightful possession, and it honors Him. It is thanks feeling moved beyond that into thanksgiving through the spiritual discipline of the Lord's Supper. All right, so we're already out there in the hallway, I assume. So we're going to open the doors back there, and you can just file out there, pick up the elements as you go by the table. And I heard last time you guys headed all the way down to the end of the hallway, and then we didn't need quite that much space. So maybe go halfway down the hallway this time, and we'll see how much space we need to fill in. Just hold the elements until we take them together. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. Let's eat the bread together. Take a minute and we pray together before we drink the cup and remember the Lord's blood. Remember, Jesus calls it the new covenant in His blood. This guarantee of God's acceptance and love of you through this covenant sacrifice of Jesus. So will you take a minute and pray in your own heart, give thanks to the Lord for the blood of Jesus. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's drink together. Amen. All right, so we have been traditionally singing the doxology together, and let's do that again. It is a call to each other to praise the God from whom all blessings flow. It is a statement of his rights to all thanks and praise from us. Pastor Eric.